And he said, that's an old one. That's a good saying, though. I like that. Open your Bibles tonight, please. The book of 1 Timothy, chapter 3. And then tonight we're also going to look at another passage out of Proverbs. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, and actually Proverbs chapter 31. Go ahead and turn to both passages. Proverbs 31 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're in a series of messages for some time now, that as far as the office of a deacon. We've been, what we're doing throughout the summer months is we are going to take and really kind of give some thought to why we do what we do as far as who we are, the offices, the different ministries of our church, and we are looking at the deacon. We finish up the office of a deacon Wednesday night, and then for the next two Sunday nights, we're going to look at the position of a deacon's wife. And I will say, and again, thank God, I mean that. I thank God for our ministries that we have, for the deacons and their wives, for the ministries that they have and what they do, a lot of which is behind the scenes, and it doesn't get recognized, and we don't necessarily talk about it, but I want to kind of bring some thought to it and look at it from the perspective of the Word of God. What does God have to say? What does God's Word have to say as far as in the context of deacons and their wives? And the Lord has much to say about that. Now, I will say what we're going to do tonight, we'll read the passage in 1 Timothy, but I want to then kind of, we're not going to exposit that so much tonight. We will next Sunday night. I want us to just kind of look at God's, what God expects of all wives. You know, and in particular, we'll look at Proverbs 31. Now, we will use it in the context of a deacon's wife, and we'll say that as we preach through that. But here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, or 1 Timothy chapter 3, please stand in honor and reverence for the reading of God's holy word. As we look at the aspect of God's will as far as in the context of a deacon's wife, what does God expect? What does God expect of a deacon's wife? Yes, the call of God is on the man to be a deacon, but I truly believe the call of God indeed is on the wife as well. And I will say in this context that a deacon's wife is a very critical part of his ministry. To be an effective deacon, to be an effective, in the context of 1 Timothy 3, in the context of pastor, to be the pastor God wants us to be the deacon God wants us to be. We have to have a wife, and our wives can make or break the ministry for the man. And I will say, and again, thank God for the deacons' wives that we have and the pastors' wives that we have. And we could not do, I mean this, we could not do what we do without the wives that we have. And that's an understatement of the night. But here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we'll start here in verse 8 just for reference point, focusing really in verse 11. Paul, again, writing in the context of pastors, the office of a pastor, the office of a deacon. He says, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. And now Paul speaks in, really he speaks in to the pastor's wife and the deacon's wife in the context here, verse 11. He says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. He mentions four things, four statements there. And we'll, like I said, we'll exposit that passage more next Sunday night. But I want us now to, let's pray, and then you can be seated, and we'll read Proverbs as we just kind of go through that. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege we have of being your child. We thank you, God, for the joy we have of being a member of a local New Testament church, a local Baptist church. And Father, we are truly blessed to be part of such. We thank you, God, for the offices of the pastor, the deacons, and their wives. And God, as we look into your word tonight, we pray, God, that it will indeed be an encouragement to the deacons' wives. And it'll be an encouragement to Brother Stephen, Miss Melissa, and Miss Leslie tonight. And that you will just encourage them, God, in such a loving way. We are so thankful, Lord, for their ministries that they have, and Lord, for the support that they give us to do what you've called us to do. God, we could not do the ministry that we do without our wives. So, Father, I pray tonight that you'll speak into the hearts of our deacons' wives and pastors' wives. I pray, Lord, you're also speaking the heart of every wife and woman in this room. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you're being seated there, go ahead now and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. And I know that when you look at this particular portion of Scripture, when you look at this passage of Scripture, there can sometimes be a kind of an overwhelming kind of thought to many of the ladies that maybe when you look at Proverbs 31, and you may think to your heart, in your heart and in your mind, that how is it even attainable? You know, how is the Proverbs 31 even such that can even be reached? Well, also bear in mind that who is writing this portion of Scripture, of course, Solomon's writing this, we believe. And when you look in the context of Solomon and you look at his life, he truly not only was a trophy of the grace of God, but he had made a lot of bad choices in his life. And as someone has said, that Solomon would have given all of his fortune to have a wife like he describes here in Proverbs 31. So when we look at this portion and we look at it in the light of, you know, the deacon's wife, God wants us to be, God wants you to be, and really the wife, the general qualities for all Christian wives is really what we see here in Proverbs 31, and we'll start here in a moment in verse number 10. Now, in light of a deacon's wife, to say that a deacon's wife plays a vital role in her husband's ministry is truly indeed an understatement. You've heard it said that, and it's true, that, and sadly, I've seen this over the years since I've been a Christian. I've seen the wife of a pastor or even a deacon. I've seen that cause a major problem in the ministry of a deacon and a pastor. But on the other side of the coin, I've seen the beauty, if you will, the beauty of what a wife who understands the call of God on their husband's life as well as their life. I've seen the beauty of that really fleshed out in a very beautiful form and showing a picture of Christ in their home and in their marriages and in their ministries together. I will say that for the deacon and his wife, they are a team. For a pastor and his wife, they are a team. I said to my wife before I walked to the pulpit, I said, thank you for being my partner in the ministry. I would not be the pastor that I am today without my wife. You would not be the deacon that you are today if it weren't for your wife and the ministry that they fill and the roles that they play. And as we will see here in Scripture, in this particular portion of Proverbs 31, there are some tremendous statements that really show us, in essence, what a deacon's wife should be. And in all honesty, a pastor's wife should be, a wife should be, just a Christian woman, a wife should be. A deacon's wife needs to have the same calling as her husband, but also the same character as her husband. And in the context of 1 Timothy, Paul, writing to Timothy, really gives that. You say, Pastor, do you really truly believe that the deacon is a calling? Yes, I do believe that. And the reason I say that was if you were to look at it in the very earlier section of 1 Timothy chapter 3 where Paul speaks into this, I've actually talked to Brother Andy about this. We kind of see it from a little two different sides. But as we look at that, and I've really looked at this a lot, with the Bible, when the Bible says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work, truly I do believe that it's a call of God on his life to the ministry, and it's a call of God on his life to be that pastor. But I also believe if you keep it in the context of that first verse of 1 Timothy 3, and then you come down to verse 8 and following where it talks about the office of a deacon, I really believe it's a calling of God. And when we've ordained men, we've put them in a we've put them to the test. We ask questions and things of that nature. And what we're going to do next Sunday night, I mentioned it last week, but I want to give the men some headway. It's just some thoughts on this. Starting next Sunday night for a few Sunday nights, we're going to take about 10 minutes of a 10-minute slot, and I'm going to ask the deacons to give their testimonies from the pulpit and just talk about, you know, how they got saved and the story behind their salvation as far as and when God called them into the ministry as a deacon. And they're going to talk about that. And I want you to get to know them a little more. And I, like I said, so much as far as behind the scenes that they do that we don't really talk a lot about that you wouldn't even know that goes on. But again, what a blessing of God it is to have these men and their wives be such a pivotal part of our ministry. So here in Proverbs 31, we'll start in verse 10. And again, these pretty much are just the general qualities of a Christian wife. But in the context of our sermon tonight, we're going to look at it from the perspective of a deacon's wife. God has given you, God has given a church, let me say it like this. God has given a church a very special gift when he's given us a deacon's wife. And the reason I say that is because the role that they have and the responsibilities that they have to the membership, to the body, is really a blessing. It's a joy to have the deacon's wife that we have, the deacon's wives that we have. And the reason I say that is because, and again, as I said in recent weeks in the context of a deacon and the requirements of a deacon, I truly believe it is a biblical principle that the ladies of Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church should be able to look at the wives, the deacons' wives in our church, and model their example of behavior and get closer to Jesus in doing that. That is truly a blessing, and it's a joy, and it should be something. You say, well, Pastor, why is that that's a lot of weight. That's a lot of responsibility. You're absolutely right. It is a lot of responsibility. It is a lot of responsibility to maintain a godly character about you, and maintain a Christian character and a walk with Jesus and maintain a really devotional life as far as spending time with the Lord and prayer and reading of the Word and really maintain that. You say, Pastor, yeah, but that's a lot. Well, listen, God, again, you remember the thing about our Lord, and you can see this perfectly illustrated in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul talked about, and the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he talked about the value and the importance of being being someone that other believers in Jesus could look at their life and follow their life pattern and then become closer to Jesus in doing so. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, you remember it? I've told this to you a few times, but just for reference, while Paul said that they became followers, Paul said to the Thessalonian believers, he said, you became followers of us and of Christ. The word follower means mimic. You mimicked our life. You mimicked our lifestyle. You mimicked our behavior. And in so doing, you became closer to Jesus in doing that. So that indeed, God puts a high value on modeling behavior. God puts a high value on the aspect that in the context of a deacon's wife and a deacon, but in the context of a deacon's wife, he puts a high value on what it means to model the Christian life in front of a body. And that's what God's called us to do. He does it to a pastor. He does it to a pastor's wife, to assistant pastor, assistant pastor's wife. Now, I will say Miss Melissa has a two role. She has a dual role. We did when we ordained Brother Stephen to the office of a deacon, and then we hired him in as our assistant pastor. We wanted him to keep his position as a deacon, and there's a reason we did that, because you know it's a tremendous call of God on his life to be a deacon. He does it well, and Miss Melissa, you do it well, and I thank you for that. And to our ladies, you do that well, and thank you for being the model of Christian character. To Miss Leslie, my wife, and I know this may seem uncomfortable for her, but thank you for being the model of character and integrity that you are, babe. To our ladies and to our church members, thank you for having the sweet spirit that you have. And you say, yeah, but doesn't she ever have to get on you? Oh, yes, she does. Sometimes she does. And we have some wonderful fellowship. But again, thank you, babe, for being a godly pastor's wife. And I'll say this to the church and to those that are watching, and I mean this. And I know sometimes I joke and I use humor a lot in my messages, and I'll say things and I'll make statements and little things. And God is my witness. I never intend for any statement that I make about my wife to be a critical one. And God knows my heart in that. But I'll go on record and tell you that, and I tell this to her, I thank God for my wife. You know, she's a blessing to me. She's a blessing to this church. And again, to our ladies in our congregation, and I will say this, to the ladies in our congregation, to our deacons' wives, to our brother, and again, dual role with Miss Melissa, but as far as the deacon's position as well as the assistant pastor position and my wife, they are examples. They are examples, and they absolutely should be, of what it means to know the Lord Jesus and to live the life that should be pleasing to the Lord. And again, that's a great blessing to the church. Now let me also say this, and I want you to hear my heart in this. I'm not saying, and you know this, none of us, including myself, none of us are sinless. Please know that. You know, when guys say, yeah, but pastor, should they then be way up here on a pedestal? No. That's not God's intention. My point is, when Paul told the church at the church of Timothy, pastor, to that young preacher, pastor of church in Ephesus, and he talked about that a deacon should be blameless, that means, doesn't mean sinless. It just means without accusation. So there's a few things, and I hope that you'll press in. And my prayer to God is that this will be a great encouragement to you tonight. And really, as we look at this portion of Scripture, notice, first of all, in the light of this, you know, the deacon's wife, God wants you to be. Notice, number one, notice the treasures of a good wife. The treasure of a good wife. The Bible tells us here, beginning in verse number 10, and we'll make a couple statements about this. Again, Solomon is writing this, and he says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good. Proverbs 31, are you there? Proverbs 31, verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The treasures of a good wife. Now, as we do kind of a word study on some of this, the context when he says there in verse 10, the question he imposes, who can find a virtuous woman? Now, by definition, it means a wife of valor, or more specifically, virtuous means integrity and moral strength. When Solomon is asking a question, who can find a virtuous woman? And if we segue it off of the 1 Timothy 3 passage, a deacon's wife should be someone of moral character and strength, and this virtuousness, this honor, if you will, this wife of valor, if you will. It speaks of integrity, that moral strength. A good wife is strong in all moral qualities. She is, so this, we see her, the virtuous, the treasure is that. She's a virtuous woman, but secondly, let her be under that, she's a valuable woman. She is also valuable to her husband and her family. Look at the word in verse 10, for her price. The word price there is the word worth. Her price, her value, her worth speaks of her preciousness. Interestingly enough, as I was studying this, there's only one character in the Bible who is called a virtuous woman, and it was Ruth. You remember Ruth in the Old Testament? Ruth was called a virtuous woman. Matter of fact, when Boaz was giving really his assessment of who she was, he said, they all know that you're a virtuous woman. It speaks of that integrity. You know, a deacon's wife should have a wholeness about her. She should not have duplicity in her life, meaning she shouldn't be one thing outside of a church as she is inside of a church. No. That's duplicity, and God hates duplicity. There should be a wholeness about the deacon's wife. They should be women of character, strength, and this integrity that the Bible speaks about. So we see the valuable woman. She's valuable to her husband, to her family. Well, to what does the Bible connect the value of a good wife? It connects her value. How does it connect it? It connects her value to love. Look at verse 11. The Bible says the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. What does that mean? A deacon has great confidence in serving when he can safely trust his wife. Trust is one of the most important elements in any relationship. Allow that trust to be destroyed, and you can struggle the rest of your life in your marital relationship. Trust, indeed, is a tremendous value. It's a tremendous gift in a relationship. I love, and I've used it a lot this summer, I love the words of Mrs. Randolph that said to me at her 70th anniversary, she said, preacher, she says, there's two reasons for the longevity of our marriage. She said, we did things together, but secondly, she said, you cannot build a relationship on lies. Your honesty and trustfulness, your truth, as far as being women of integrity, women that do not lie, women that have a standard about them that, yes, they're virtuous, but the value of their relationship and the value of who they are is a tremendous gift to the husband as well as a tremendous gift to a local New Testament church. That's the treasure of a good wife. But second of all, notice the toughness of a good wife. The toughness of a good wife. The Bible starts in verse 13. Let's look. You say, preacher, do you really think our deacons' wives are tough? Yes, I do think they're tough. They're tough women. And the reason they are, that's not a negative statement. It's not a negative statement. Let me tell you why they're tough, and I'll show you biblically. A wife that is this moral, has this integrity about her, she has to be a tough person. Why does she have to be a tough person? Because of the culture which we live in. We live in a sinful culture. We live in a wicked culture. And a wife that this treasure of a wife that she is, and Solomon is really telling us about, we see this toughness about her. She's not going to go, listen, she's not going to go with the crowd. She's going to go against the crowd. She's going to go against the current, if you will, of this culture. This culture is wicked. This culture is vile. This culture is sinful. But a virtuous woman and the value of a virtuous, godly deacon's wife is going to go against the culture. So we see the toughness fleshed out starting in verse number 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly, underline the word willingly, willingly with her hands. We see a couple thoughts as to the toughness of a good wife. The good wife does a compassionate work. This good wife that Solomon's speaking of, in the value of it, in the context of a deacon's wife, which we're looking at tonight, a deacon's wife does a compassionate work. The Bible tells us she does it willingly there in verse 13. She worketh willingly with her hands. It implies that she is not serving her husband or her church out of a forced obligation. Instead, she is serving out of a calling and a passion on her life. What a blessing of God. What a blessing of God to see this characteristic of this godly woman, this godly wife. They are to have this willing spirit, willing to jump in there and do things at a moment's notice, at a beck and call, willing to serve, willing to go with her husband and making hospital visits. And sometimes, with women, if they get in the hospital, sometimes our deacons' wives will team up together, and they'll go visit ladies in the hospital and teenage girls in the hospital. They'll do that. And this willingness to do it. It's never something that is forced, or it's never something that is, you know, we do not, you know me, we do not force compliance around here. We don't want that. That's not, we don't ever want that. We don't want people serving in any capacity that looks at it as a drudgery or looks at it as, oh, I have to do this. No, friend, if we don't do it with a willing heart and a willing spirit, it's all in vain anyway, right? We're working for the Lord Jesus. So in the context of this wife, this virtuous wife, she does a compassionate work. What? There's a toughness in that. There's a toughness, there's a tenderness you could add as well in this one thought. The tenderness is compassionate work that she does. As a result of this willingness, she has, if you will, busy hands. A deacon's wife allows God, listen to this statement. A writer wrote it. He says, as a result, a deacon's wife allows God to take the capacity she has and use it outside the home to bless the church family her husband serves as a deacon. That's a good statement there. Let me read it to you again. A deacon's wife allows God to take the capacity she has and use it outside the home to bless the church family her husband serves as a deacon. I said in the very beginning of this message, you guys are partners. You are partners in the ministry. A deacon and his wife, they work as a team. And that's what they do. And that's the way it should be. That's the way God intends it for me. Many of you ladies and many of you wives that are in this room, not just our deacon's wife, many of you wives in this room, you've got a lot on your plate. Raising kids and getting the kids all dressed and ready for school. Getting your husband all dressed and fed and getting your husband ready to go off for work, right? There's a toughness about that. You say, preacher, it seemed like I'm constantly juggling. I promise you, and I mean this, We could not be, and I've said this before, but I hope you hear it in this context. We could not be the church that we are without the wives in this church. We couldn't do it. Without the women and what you do in this church, we could not do it. There's no way possible we could do it. And then listen to the deacons in this church. We could not, listen, friend, please hear my heart on this. We couldn't have the deacons that we have without the support of the wives of the deacons. We couldn't do that. That's why I say to you often, pray for our deacons and their wives. Pray for our assistant pastor, Brother Stephen, Miss Melissa. Pray for Leslie and I. Pray for us. Because we are bombarded with the culture. We are bombarded with situations and things that really need the touch of God on. And we don't ever, ever, ever want to dishonor the call of God that is on our life. A good wife, this Bible speaks of, she's not only does a compassionate work. Let her be, she does a commendable work. In verses 14 through 22, we'll read them just for sake of reference in this, but let's just pick up in verse 14 and we'll just kind of read on down. Verse 14 through 22 describes the activities of a good wife. These activities display the following qualities of her character. She's not lazy. She's generous. She's energetic. She's even health conscious in this context. She's somebody that cares for her home. She's someone that cares in the context of a deacon's wife. She cares for the church body. And as we will see next Sunday night, she's not going to be one that's going to do something that would jeopardize the harmony of the church. Amen? She's not going to do anything. A deacon nor his wife, a pastor nor his wife should ever do anything that would harmonize the jeopardy and the unity of a local New Testament church. So we got to always stay on top of that. We got to always keep on guard of that. Look at verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. She's a generous person. She considereth the field and buyeth it with a fruit, literally the earnings of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her hand, her arms. My wife will do that every now and she'll say, look at the guns, and she'll do her arms. I don't necessarily think that's what it means there, babe. She tried to arm wrestle me, but I'm not going to do that. I'm scared I'm going to lose. I was in my office for church, and we've been working all weekend and cleaning up the yard, just working on the boat, different things. And I literally was in my office, and I went to grab my coffee cup, and I couldn't hardly extend my arm out. It was cramping up and still does that. Oh, right now it hurts pretty good. I'm glad I got that over with. I can finally shake it out, right? So Leslie's in my office, and she's standing at the threshold of my door, and I was like, oh, I said, man, I cannot extend my arm off. She's like, my arms are fine. She said, I must work them a lot more. She said, my arms are good. Yeah, I do coffee curls. You know what a coffee curl is, right? You got a coffee cup, and you kind of curl it up like that to drink it. That's a coffee curl. So, but anyway. Look at the rest of verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength, strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. My goodness, there's a sermon. There's a sermon just in that verse alone, just in that last statement. She layeth her hands, verse 19, to the spindle. And her hands hold to the staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. Our deacons' wives do that. I know that for a fact. When there's needs, they've cooked many meals. They've cooked many a meal, our pastors' wives and our deacons' wives. When they found out about needs, they're there, and they do it well. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. I mean, Solomon is really speaking in to this toughness of a good wife, this commendable work that she does, this compassionate work that she does. These activities that she does truly displays these tremendous qualities of character. To say that a deacon's wife lives for others That's an understatement. He said, "Preacher, I notice we don't ever much mention the deacon's wife." No, we don't, and I say it to our shame. We recognize our deacons, but again, I promise you, they would not be the men that they are. They would not be the servants that they are if it weren't for their wives. There's no way I could pastor a church without the support of my wife. It's a blessing to know when you're gone, if you're in revival, you know that things are okay at home because my wife is there and the deacon's wives are home and they're there. They take care and they've raised their families. Many of them have raised their families and their families are grown, their kids are grown. They serve through some difficult days. And I'll say to the deacon's wives that were here when my wife and I came, You all did. You served. You served this church through some difficult days, difficult years. And I say thank you. Thank you that you didn't quit. Thank you that you didn't give up. We're blessed tonight because of your faithfulness. We're blessed tonight because of your willingness to do what you do best in serving. We see the toughness, but notice number three. Notice the trueness. The trueness of a good wife. The Bible picks up in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he setteth among the elders of the land. A good and godly wife is a compliment, letter A. He's a compliment. She is a compliment, to her husband. When the Bible says her husband is known in the gates, he's known in the gates because his wife encourages. Let me give you a few thoughts. This is tremendous, and I love Dr. Johnny Hunt wrote this, but I'm going to give them to you because it is outstanding. And you may just listen to this for a minute. Again, we're talking about a deacon's wife, but let's make a general reference to the women in our church, wives in our church, women in our church who will one day perhaps marry. Let me read this. It's phenomenal, and I want you to hear this. A good wife. A good and godly wife is a compliment to her husband. Again, the Bible said there in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sets among the elders. Look at that, verse 23. When he setteth among the elders of the land, her husband. Why is he known in the gates? Because his wife encourages his strengths. Did you hear that? She encourages his strength. Our deacons' wives encourage the strengths of their husband. Number two, they help their weaknesses. She encourages her husband's strengths. She helps his weaknesses. You didn't know that, did you? We all have weaknesses. Every one of us. Every single one of us do. You say, "Preacher, you're making it sound like..." No. Let's just be honest and transparent and let's be vulnerable for a minute. We have our strengths. I have my strengths. I have my weaknesses as well. Even as a leader, I say that. As a pastor, I say that. This godly wife, she encourages his strength. She helps his weaknesses. Number three, she counsels him wisely. She counsels him wisely. My wife has saved me a lot of problems. And often she does it when I've said something like this. "Hey, I'm thinking about doing this, 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 and this." And thankfully, my wife will then sometimes speak into that, and she'll say something like this, "Babe, I don't know if you should do that. I don't know," she said, "I know you're going to pray about it. I know you need to pray about it." She said, "But I don't know. I would really step back and take a good look at that." Now, I wish I could stand up and tell you that I've listened in every occasion, but I have not done that. There's been many times that, "No, I'm just going to go ahead and do it," and I've made mistakes. Now, there has been times when went ahead and do different things that we didn't necessarily 100% agree on, but God bless it, it still worked out. But in the context of this godly wife, she counsels him wisely. She doesn't, in our deacon's wife, they do not speak into their husband and just tell their husbands, and nor does your pastor's wife and sister, they don't speak into us and tell us what we want to hear. That's not good counsel. If the people that speak into your life, if you only have people in your life that tell you what you want to hear, you're on dangerous ground, friend. You need to have people in your life that will speak into your life and tell you what you need to hear. Did you hear me? You need to have people that will speak into your life. The Bible speaks, and I may misquote the verse, but the thought behind it is this. In the multitude of counsel, there's safety, there's wisdom there. I think it was Solomon that wrote that. You know, we don't want to just, take off without seeking counsel. We don't want to just take off and run ahead. So this godly wife, as Dr. Johnny Hunt writes, does a phenomenal statement on this. She encourages his strengths. She helps his weaknesses. She counsels him wisely. Number four, she builds up his confidence. She builds up his confidence. Man, I could say so much about that. Have there been times where I've been fearful? Yes. Have there been times when leaders get fearful? Yes. And I thank God for my wife and our deacons' wives, that when times like that have hit us as leaders, and I say leader because that's what God's called us to do, servant leadership, not just leader with a title, but true servant leadership, which is biblical leadership. There's been many times where Miss Leslie has come alongside of me, pour courage into me, and build my confidence up. If the truth be known, and I know this to be true, the deacons' wives have done the same thing for their husbands. It does not, you say, preacher, no, hear me. It doesn't mean we're less of a man. It means we know who we are. And that we sometimes need a voice of reason, very lovingly and tenderly, compassionately speaking to us and speaking to our heart. A few years ago when I was going through deep depression, there was times I would say to Leslie, I feel like I should resign. I feel like I'm not effective anymore. And she very lovingly and tenderly would come along and speak into me and say, no, it's just what the devil's doing right now. The devil can make one voice sound like 1,000 in a negative way. There's been many times the precious Holy Spirit of God, hear my heart in this. There's been many times the precious Holy Spirit of God has used my wife to pour confidence in me like nobody else has. That's what a godly wife does. That's what a godly wife who has a compassionate heart, who has a tenderness, but has a toughness. There has also been times when Miss Leslie says, don't you dare do that. And she does her eyes just like that too. She said, don't impersonate me. She said, you do a horrible job. But she doesn't understand. That's what I see. There's been tough times where she's spoken into me. And let me say this to you, fellas. Wise is the man. Wise is the man that understands that sometimes God gives your wife a clarity in that moment that you might not have. And thank God for the clarity of our wife. Amen. They speak into us. They speak courage into us. Let me give you another one. Brother Johnny talks about this. Phenomenal. Builds up his confidence. Number five, helps mold his character. Helps mold his character. Character is what you are. So I don't know who wrote it originally, but it's true. Character is what you are when nobody else is looking, nobody else is around. A godly wife will help mold the character of her husband. A godly wife, a godly deacon's wife, will speak into situations. Things like something like this. Let me just be honest with you. Hey, watch out for that lady. That lady seems a little not a safe person to be careful around that lady. And as men, sometimes we're like oblivious, right? We're like, what are you talking about? No, just watch out for that person. You see, but again, I believe this, and I've seen this. God often will use your wife to bring clarity to a situation that I sometimes do not even see. And most of the time, they're right. That was hard to say that. Most of the time, in that context, you say not all the time. Well, I'm not going to say that. Number five, helps mold his character. Number six, gently smooths his path. Gently smooths his path. What a tremendous word Brother Johnny shares there. So she is one that is a compliment to her husband. But secondly, she is one that imparts confidence in her husband. We've talked a little bit about that. These verses move from what a good woman does with her hands to then what a good woman does with her heart. What's in her heart? Among her greatest assets is wisdom, the ability to live life skillfully. Additionally, the law of kindness. Let's just look at the scriptures here. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing. Wow. That's awesome. Strength and honor are her clothing. Notice this next statement, ladies. And she shall rejoice in time to come. Her husband is known in the gates. Her husband is known by all the business elite. And that culture, that's where often legal transactions would occur, was in the gate, the city gate. Her husband would sit among the elders. But the woman that Solomon's talking about, this godly wife, in the context of a godly deacon's wife, she shall rejoice in time to come. Here's what I deeply believe. I believe this from top of my head to the bottom of my feet. It will truly take heaven. It will truly take heaven to really show the impact, the full impact, and the full value of the godly wives that our Lord has blessed us with. It's going to take heaven to do that. And that's when the Bible speaks, Solomon says, she shall rejoice in time to come. Often, she doesn't get the recognition that she deserves on this earth. A godly wife doesn't. But Solomon says there's going to come a time. What a joy to know how. Think about your wife for a minute. Think about the time she's mended the broken hearts of your children. Think about the times that she's kissed her boo-boos. Think about the time that she's gone into their bedrooms at night when they were little to say a prayer over them. Think about the times and the hours that she spends pouring into your kids. What to look for in a future mate. Think about the lessons of integrity and character that she has poured herself into your babies. From a church standpoint, think about the countless hours that our deacons' wives do and pour into the little kids' ministries of our church. In the nursery, as a pastor, it's a blessing to me to have so many women that work in our nursery. As a pastor, in the context of the sermon, it is a blessing to me that when our deacons' wives are working in children's ministry, they're ones that we know have character and integrity and compassion and tenderness, and they're going to love on your kids. Please hear this. I know that they're going to love on your children as much as they would their own children. That's a gift of God to a local church. That's a gift of God. I said it last week when my wife and I first walked in these doors. Toby was 2 years old. Miss Nancy, she said, here, I'll take the. She was here, let me take him to the nursery. We had the nursery on the second floor at that time. There was only 22 of us in the whole entire room that night, that morning. And actually that night, less than the kids came. I wanted to make sure they could tolerate me before I brought the Harold children in, right? But no, they very lovingly, she took him upstairs. And I know, because I know Miss Nancy now, over these 13 years of getting to know her, I know that when my kids were in her presence, she was going to show the love of Christ to them. Miss Melissa, Miss Bonnie, Miss Marie, Miss Nancy. They show the love of Christ. Miss Lessa, they show the love of Christ. Church, you have no idea what they go through. You have no idea. You have no idea the sacrifices that they make. They don't talk about it. You have no idea the times that they've faced. You ready for this one? The time that they've had to deal with difficult church members. Now, let's just call it for what it is. Mean people. And they do it with grace, and they do it with tenderness. Oh, by the way, like our Lord Jesus did. That's a blessing of God for a congregation. That's a blessing of God for a pastor. Not all churches are as blessed as we are. I know churches that the deacons and their wives are mean, they're gossips, they cause all kinds of problems in a church, and it leaves the pastor pulling his hair out, trying to fix and put out all the fires that they start. I promise you, that does not go on here. And I thank God for that. There's so much in this. Let's finish this up. Verse 26 says, she openeth her mouth. Notice this, ladies, with wisdom. What was wisdom? What is it? It's knowing what to say and when to say it. Is the way one preacher that I know, Dr. David Gibbs, he said, wisdom is knowing what to say and when to say it. That's true wisdom. Verse 25, she openeth. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. I mean this. We do not have deacons' wives who have sharp tongues. They wouldn't be a deacon's wife long. We have deacons' wives that have a kindness in their tongue and a wisdom in their speech. And this is what I do know about our deacons' wives. And this, by the way, let me speak on this for a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself for next Sunday night, but not just a general statement. I know a lot of, Brother Tommy, I know a lot of good, godly men that have the characteristics, Miss Bonnie, that have the characteristics and the quality traits to be a good, godly deacon. I'm not talking about Emmanuel right now. I'm talking about in general of the churches I have associated with over the years. But the problem is they'll never serve as a deacon because their wife disqualifies them from it. You say, how can a woman disqualify? Because some of the men that I promise you, I know them. I know them. They're in other churches. They're my friends. But their wives are the town gossips. They're mean-spirited. They ridicule. They talk about people behind their back. They'll say things like, you know, well, I can't believe the preacher did this. I can't believe the church did this. And they sow discord in the body. It's a big deal. Being a deacon's wife is a big deal. So if, as the membership of Emmanuel, when you go to our deacons' wives or our deacons or their wives and you go to them with problems, don't expect them to just come right alongside of you and cater or coddle you with your disgruntledness and feed into that disgruntledness or feed into that negativity. By God's grace, they're going to speak to you with kindness. They're going to speak to you with the law of God in their hearts. And they're going to speak to you with wisdom and tell you not what necessarily you want to hear, but tell you what you need to hear at that moment. Amen? That's what God's called them to do. So Solomon, he's speaking into that. Notice the last thing. Notice the testimony now of a good wife. The testimony. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Goodness. My wife, half the time, if I'm drinking coffee or something, before I could set it down on the table, she's taking it out of my hand. You done with that? I'm like, no, I'm not done with it. Busy, they're busy and they're active and they're doing things. Look at verse 28. Fellas, I want you fellas to look at verse 28 as well. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Notice verse 28, guys. Her husband also. Let me speak into that for a minute. Pat, here's what I believe about that. The reason her children rise up and call her blessed is because her husband models that behavior. Brother Tommy taught me a lesson years ago. And I told it to my boys years ago. I said, see a little woman in the kitchen there? Yeah, Dad. I said, that's Mom. I said, yeah, you're right, that's Mom. I said, but that's my wife. And I said, to quote the deep theologian known as Tommy Knoll, I said, if you make her mad, you make Dad mad. Right? We got that agreement, right, Tobe? Toby's just smiling. Where's Cameron going? Cameron outside smoking again? No. We try to model it. Our kids will, I promise you, parenting is more caught than taught. Our kids will model our behavior. Our kids will treat their mothers like we treat our wife. They will do that. And I say that with fear and trembling. I mean that. But this testimony of a godly wife, let's just finish the verses and we're done. As far as her family is concerned, this is good.
She is the greatest wife and mother in the whole wide world. As far as her family is concerned, she is the greatest wife and mother in the whole wide world. You say, Pastor, well, let's just again, just finishing out the verses. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. I'm going to say this to my wife and to all the deacons' wives that are here tonight. Starting in verse 28, and I want to make it personal to you. And I'll say this because I know your kids. I know all your kids. To say that your kids, look up here for a minute. To say that your kids love you guys, love you ladies, is an understatement. It's an understatement. To all of the wives of our deacons here, every one of you, Miss Leslie, every one of you have raised amazing children. You've done that. One of our deacons' wives, her daughter is Amy, my secretary. I've met all your kids. And not one time, has any of your children said a derogatory comment about you or your husband. You've raised godly kids. You've raised good kids. So let's make it personal, church. And I want every deacon's wife to listen to this verse as if it's written for you. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he, look at this, guys, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Literally, when he says you excellest them all there in verse 24, it's meaning to our deacons' wives, to Miss Leslie. Here's what it's meaning. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. There is none better. There is none better than you. There is none better than y'all. And Solomon wants them to know that. So what do we do, Emmanuel Baptist? What do we do? I'll tell you what we do. We pray for our deacons' wives. We pray that God will watch over them. We pray that God will watch over them and protect them. But a specific prayer I'm going to challenge you to do, and I'm going to pray, and then we're going to give an invitation. A specific prayer would be that God protects your heart. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? That God protects your heart from bitterness and protects your heart from getting crushed. Ministry's tough. Dealing with church people sometimes, not any of you all, but dealing with church people sometimes can be difficult. And it can wane on you. It can really wane on you emotionally. So we're going to pray that God protects your heart, that God protects your mind, that God protects your family. That's what we're going to do. So let's pray. Our Father, Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for who you are. We are so thankful, God, for what you've done in the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. We thank you, Father, for our deacons' wives here at Emmanuel. And Father, I know many of them have, and no one would know this, many of them have have their hearts hurt. They've had their minds troubled with situations over the years. But Father, we pray that you'll speak encouragement to all of these tonight. To my wife, we pray, Lord God, and the deacons' wives, that, Lord, that you will just speak joy into their life. And let them know, Lord, that we truly, truly do appreciate what they do for us. As a husband, Lord, of a godly woman, I say thank you. To the deacons' kids here, to all their children, Lord, we say thank you for how they show the love to their parents. So many, Lord. And it's a blessing, God, to see how you have used their ministries here at Emmanuel for decades. And God, we are truly a better church because of their service. So, Father, I pray that you'll keep Satan from interfering in their heart and their mind. And I pray, Lord, that you will hinder him from using what he often does, discouragement, to take them down. Lord, we love you. And, Father, we love our deacons' wives. And, Lord, may we as a church just be so supportive and love them and encourage them and be careful, God. May we all be careful that we wouldn't say something that would hurt them. People, I have no idea, God, what they do. They have no idea the hours that they spend in ministry and hospital visits and making meals and visiting sick and shut-ins. But, Father, may we be appreciative. Bless the invitation tonight, Lord Jesus. We pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as Savior, that tonight would be a night that they would call upon you in repentance and believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to the saving of their soul. Go with us now tonight, Lord, and have your will in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Let's all stand. Brother Brian, what's your number, bud? 410. Hymn number 410.